Well, thank you for letting me come here again. I like coming to Thriston and I get a warm welcome. And we pray that the Lord's blessing will rest upon us as we look into his word. By way of text, perhaps I ought to read verse 28 of Matthew chapter 14, where we read, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Because I'm the bearer of good tidings this morning, and we want to rejoice together in the solemnity of God's word and trust that he will speak to us. Actually, there are two events following the feeding of the 5,000 which we want to consider this morning, and they are referred to in two other texts which follow what I have said. Because when Jesus said this to the disciples, Peter replied, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Because you know they were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee when this happened. And Jesus said to him, "Come." Then, the day following, we find from the Gospel of John, because there's a wonderful connection between these four Gospels, which the Lord has preserved for us, we find in John chapter 6 that the day following, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching quite a long sermon. It occupies about 71 verses in the Gospel of John. And he spoke to the people, and Peter answered the Lord because he had noticed that some of the congregation were disappearing. I should be rather downhearted if some of the congregation disappeared during the sermon this morning. But this happened when Jesus was preaching this long sermon. They were saying to themselves, "What's being said is rather hard, and we can't bear it." And so they walked out. And I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Will you also go away? You, my 12 disciples, ones who've been in this boat that we're going to think about in a moment." And Peter replied, "Lord, to whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." In other words, if we leave the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no viable alternative for our salvation. So what can we do? If we're not Christians, what can we say? Also, in the sermon, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Wonderful words which Jesus spoke in this sermon, and words which are just as true this morning to us in this little service here. If we come to the Lord Jesus by his grace, he will receive us and he will not cast us out. Well, now you know, we are thinking about remarkable things, about the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water, about Peter walking on the water, following that amazing miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took these 5 barley loaves which belonged to the little boy and he broke them and the 2 fishes. And as he broke them, there was not a colossal heap of food in one place on the floor, but as he kept breaking it, it went to the 5,000 men besides women and children, and their needs were satisfied. And you know, the Bible tells us that afterwards there were 12 baskets all gathered up. It was very, very miraculous. I want us to remember as we begin this morning that the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ were not fables or fiction. They're not fairy tales. These are realistic, actual happenings by the power of God. And the Bible story concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the things which some people doubt this day, as they say that God didn't create the world, we evolved from nothing and so forth, these sort of things, are contradicting the actual facts of Scripture, which are the truth. It's very easy for scientists to say that the world has been around for millions of years and it started in such and such a way where nobody was there. There's no evidence whatsoever to confirm these things. I would remind you that if you think about the beginning of the Bible, where we read God created the heaven and the earth, in chapter 5 of Genesis, we have the names of 14 of the people who lived there. And moreover, we have their ages as well. If you like to be reminded, Methuselah was one of them, who lived for 969 years. The stories of the Bible are actual historic facts. These are not imaginations of the mind. And they're not to be dismissed as mere fiction. They are the truth of God. And so we are looking at something which says, there's a coming. Jesus says to Simon Peter, come. What an incredible thing. He's in the boat. There's a storm raging. But come. We've been told about those who are not only coming, but those who are going as well. Going away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me, he shall not perish. And him that comes to me and takes the bread of life which I give, I will in no wise cast him out. We've got three important things here this morning. We've got coming and going and eating. That's easy, isn't it? You can remember the divisions of the sermon this morning. Or if you like, we have faith. And we have failure. And we have feeding. 3 points. A sermon easy for you to remember. The link with the feeding of the 5,000 is very wonderful, you know. It's the only miracle of Jesus which is told in all 4 Gospels apart from the resurrection story. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all tell this story. And at the conclusion of it, the people were so enamored, they wanted to make Jesus king. King of Palestine, a temporal, earthly king. But he was having none of it. And he put the disciples into a boat and sent them from the east to the west to be away from that sort of thing. And we read in one of the Gospels, in Luke, they set sail from Bethsaida. And we read in another Gospel, Mark, they arrived at Bethsaida. And some of the critics of the Bible, they say, well, there you see, it doesn't tell the truth. It says that Bethsaida is where they started and it's where they ended. Well, if only they would just learn a little bit more. The truth is, there were 2 places called Bethsaida. One on one side and one on the other. The biblical account is absolutely true. And when we read they arrived on the western side, they landed at a place not called Bethsaida, but called Gennesaret. How do you explain that? Well, because there was this stormy wind which blew them off course, and they landed further down the coast. And then they had to walk back to Capernaum, which is a city which is called the City of Jesus. It was his city. You see, Nazareth, where he was brought up, refused him. They turned away from him. They said, oh, he's only Joseph's son. He wasn't biologically Joseph's son. When the Virgin Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was conceived not of Joseph's attention, but of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ was and is the Son of the living God. And so, the disciples are in the boat. And they are coming again to Jesus. He's going to meet them. And yet they're in terrible trouble. There was this awful storm broke out. Some of you have heard about the Sea of Galilee You know what it's like. We'll talk about that in a moment. But they were going away from him. I have to emphasize, there is no alternative salvation. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because he died on Calvary's cross to bear our sins in his body on the tree. And as we savingly believe by his grace, we receive salvation. This is the one and only gospel. I know it would be very convenient for governments and princes to say, well, all religions should be one. Prince Charles wants to be known as representing all faiths, not just the faith of God's people. It would be very handy for them in some senses, because they think that religion is the beginning of wars. If we could discourage those things and all be one. The illusions of the ecumenical movement that we hear of. The truth of the matter, my dear friends, is this. That one of the disciples named Thomas said to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know the way. By nature, we don't know the way. We're not Christians by nature. We have to be born again. But Jesus turned to doubting Thomas. He earned that reputation because he doubted so many things. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The one and only way. There is no other way. We'll remember that and come back to it presently. And then we're talking about feeding. Not the feeding of the 5,000, that happened before. We're talking about feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us will be at the communion service afterwards, and in a sense we partake of him then. But that's not the feeding which Jesus is talking about in this chapter. He says, I am the bread of life. He that partakes of me will never hunger. Do you like feeding? Do you like eating? Most people find it quite convenient. Enjoyable, in fact, often. Essential, certainly. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, this is not the communion service that I'm talking of at the moment, but as you receive baker's bread when you have your breakfast, and it becomes part of you, so in this wonderful sermon he says, as you receive me, you receive salvation, and I come to live in your hearts by my sovereign grace. It's a wonderful theme which Jesus got here. We'll come back to it presently. Coming and going and eating. Faith or failure or feeding. Are we interested in these things this morning? You see, the disciples were coming over the sea from east to west to Capernaum to see the Lord Jesus. Peter was coming to the Lord Jesus in this miraculous way, walking on the water. We read that the crowds, when they found Jesus was not on the east side, they took shipping and they came across. It must have been like a little Dunkirk, a flotilla of ships. There were 5,000 men. They didn't all go across, I don't think. But they were coming across, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Bible tells me in Isaiah chapter 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It's absolutely essential. It's the only one way to become a Christian, to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And Solomon tells us, he was a wise man, in Proverbs chapter 8, those that seek me early shall find me. Isn't that wonderful? I was only a boy of 14 when by God's grace I sought the Lord and I knew my sins to be forgiven, and by his grace I became a Christian all those years ago. I didn't tell you how old I am now, but I tell you it's a long, long time ago. And the same Lord Jesus, who saved me, has kept me ever since by his grace. Now, when they were on this ship, the sea arose by a great wind. You know, some of you have been to Galilee. I haven't, but they tell me about it. It's very low. It's 700 feet almost below the Mediterranean. And up the side there's a cliff, 2,000 feet. So when the wind hits it, it becomes like a cauldron. And these terrible storms come all at once. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew this could happen. He knew it would happen. Sometimes the way in which God's children are led are very hard to endure and to persevere in. But these men were going the way the Lord Jesus directed them to go. And even so, they were in trouble. It was in the middle watch, Matthew tells us. No, it was in the middle of the last watch, wasn't it? The middle of the fourth watch. And the fourth watch was 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock. And they'd only got halfway across the sea. Galilee is 7 miles wide. They had got 3.5 miles. And there was this awful storm. The wind was contrary unto them. What should they do? Turn round and go back? Well, what does the Lord Jesus say? No man having put his hand to the plough or to the oar, I suppose, and look his back is fit to the kingdom of heaven. My dear friends, those of you who are believers, listen to what Paul says to the Galatians. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. They looked out. And you know they saw someone in white walking on the water. They said it's a spirit. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They'd never seen anything like this before. And he was drawing nearer and nearer to the boat. And then when he got near there, he made as if he would have gone by. You know, it's like the Lord Jesus on the resurrection evening when he walked with those two disciples to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they came to their own home. And he made as if he would have gone further. Do you know why the Lord Jesus does this? Because he wants us to call upon him and to pray to him. He blesses the people who come to him in prayer and seek his face. In fact, sometimes the Lord Jesus is so good that Isaiah the prophet says, even before they call, I will answer. But call upon me and I will answer thee. That is the word of the Lord Jesus. And so he's got this word for them. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Do you know who spoke up, don't you? Simon Peter. If it be you, Lord, bid me to come on the water. Now, a very bright scholar named William Hendrickson tells me that the word if could equally well be translated since. Peter is saying to the Lord Jesus, since it's you on the water, you walking on the water, bid me to do the same. And Jesus said unto him, come. You know, this is supernatural. But Christians believe in the supernatural. This is the power of God. No problem with God to deal with such situations. Have you ever come to a situation where you've had to step out, as it were, into the unknown, and you've hesitated? Perhaps it was when you got a new job. Perhaps it was when you were married. When you went to university, the future seemed so difficult. It wasn't as difficult as Simon Peter. He'd never done it before. Nobody else besides the Lord Jesus had done it before. To step out onto the stormy water of the Sea of Galilee. That's what he was invited to do. You know, there's an old hymn that you won't many of you remember perhaps, but it says this, Jesus, at thy command, I launch into the deep and leave my native land where sin lulls all asleep. For thee I would the world resign, sail to heaven with thee and thine. That's the Holy Spirit's leading. That's God's guidance when we are really ready to do that which is suggested by Simon Peter stepping over into the sea. But oh, poor Simon Peter, he looked up at these towering waves. He saw the wind was boisterous. He seemed to lose his faith, and his ankles went under water, and then up to his knees, I suppose. Lord, save me, he says, I'm sinking. And Jesus stretched out his hand and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When did the Lord say that to you last time, I wonder? I wonder if these disciples ought to have remembered something. Because, you know, in Mark chapter 4, there was another occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was with them in the boat, and the rhythm of the water made the Lord Jesus go to sleep. And they were very frightened. There was a bad storm. They came to the cabin where Jesus was and woke him up. And they said, Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus had stood up in that storm and said, Peace, be still. And that storm had been calmed. Perhaps these disciples ought to have remembered that. But you know, God is present with us in the storms of life and the difficulties. Do you know, I'm rather fond of quoting hymns, you know, but if you've got them in your mind, you're apt to do it when they're appropriate. There's a hymn which says, His love in times past forbids me to think, He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review, that's a good name, you know, Ebenezer. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to see me right through. Perhaps the disciples ought to have remembered. This happened once. Jesus calmed that storm and he would be able to do it again. Do you know what Psalm 46 says? The waters roar and are troubled, but God is our refuge and strength. Therefore will we not fear. We're not going to be free from trouble. We're going to have difficulties. It'll be like a stormy sea. But Psalm 46 tells me, and I often think of this, God is our refuge and strength. Therefore will we not fear. My friend, have you got a faith in God like that this morning? A comfort that underneath of the everlasting arms and our God will never fail. Isn't it wonderful? We read that Jesus got into the boat and they willingly received him. And they worshipped him. There were 12 disciples in the boat, and there may have been other people as well. And they said to him, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. This is the answer to it all. Jesus is the Son of God. That's why John wrote his Gospel. We like the Gospel of John. He was the loving disciple. And at the end of his Gospel he says, Jesus had done a lot of miracles, but many other signs and miracles did Jesus do. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And believing had life through his name. As he's the Son of God, he's able to forgive your sins. He's able to save you. As you come to him in repentance and contrition of heart, Lord, save me, I'm sinking in my sins and my troubles. He says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a lovely verse of Christopher Wordsworth I must tell you of this morning. It's about the storm. The night is dark, the surges fill the bark, the wild winds roar. But Jesus comes and all is still. The ship is at the shore. O Lord, when storms around us howl and all is dark and drear, in all the tempests of the soul, O blessed Jesus, hear. We have a wonderful Saviour. He knows our need, and he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But Peter was told, you've got a little faith. Is anybody here this morning with just a little faith? Or have you got a great faith? There are other people in the scriptures who had great faith, like the Roman centurion. His servant was ill and he came to Jesus and asked him if he'd come and heal him. He said he would. And then he had second thoughts, you know, and he said, I'm a centurion, I'm a chief soldier, and I tell my soldiers, do this and you do it, go there and you go. You're the great king. You can speak the word and it will be done. And Jesus said, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. That was great faith. But Jesus said to Peter, little faith. Now I got a lovely verse from Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great preacher. My mum and dad, they liked him very much, so my second name is Haddon. I'm Alfred Haddon, said Thorpe. And that's because of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It's a bit of an embarrassment, isn't it, in some ways? But however, that's the truth. He said this, to believe God is sanctified common sense. It's a sensible thing to do, to believe God. To doubt him is the extravagance of folly. It's very foolish to doubt God. A little faith will bring your souls to heaven. If you're really Christians this morning and you've got a little faith, you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you'll get to heaven. Listen to this. Mr. Spurgeon says, great faith will bring heaven to your souls. You can have heaven now when we really unfeignedly believe and trust in our gracious God. Would you like me to say that again? To believe in God is sanctified common sense. To doubt him is the extravagance of folly. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls. God grant that we should have great faith this morning, and in the rejoicing in the forgiveness of sin for Christ's sake, we shall know that we have passed from death unto life by his sovereign grace. I'm very proud of Bedford. I was born in Bedford. It's a good town. It's a great town. It's well known because John Bunyan lived there. Very fond of John Bunyan. And he wrote that immortal story of a pilgrim going from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And it's wonderful how he works the way through the things which happened. And at the end, Christian and his comrade, Hopeful, were both swimming in the river. A little bit like Simon Peter. They just about got to the celestial city. It's a picture of people getting to heaven. And they were in this river. And Christian said to his comrade Hopeful, I sink in deep waters. But Hopeful replies to him, be of good cheer. I see him. That is Jesus. He tells me, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And he tells you as well, because it's in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. And we are told two shining ones appeared, and they guided the pilgrims into the celestial city, and all the trumpets sounded for them on the other side. Isn't it wonderful what the grace of God accomplishes? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, this poor, restless wave, age, these wars and rumours of laws, these suicides among teenagers, these violent affairs, binge drinking and all these troubles. What a dreadful strait sin has brought the world into. Whereas by God's grace we can have peace and assurance and pardon and salvation. As we come to the Lord Jesus by his grace and we trust in him. It's an old hymn, you know. I think it must have come from Sankey's hymn book, but it's a good one. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. I tell you, no spiritually alive believer will ever sink because God brings them to their desired haven for underneath the everlasting arms. Oh, but I must have a word, if you don't mind, about the going and about the eating. Some went back. Jesus said to them, you want another meal. You're after the meat, not the miracles. Because the miracles prove that I'm the Son of God. Peter, will you go? To whom shall we go? You see, he told these people that there were those who could live forever if they received him who was the bread of life. And they doubted it. He told them he came down from heaven. They were saying, no, no, no. You're the son of Joseph. You're the carpenter. A mere man. This is what some people are saying today. It's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus said to these doubting people, what if you see the Son of Man go up into heaven presently? And after 40 days or so, a cloud appeared and Jesus Christ got on it and went back up to heaven. And that's where he is now. The Lord Jesus Christ, in this same chapter, John chapter 6, tells them four times there's going to be a last day. The Son of Man will come in glory with all his holy angels. And he'll look on the earth. And it will be divided into two camps, sheep and goats. And he will say to those who are sheep, come ye blessed of my Father. To the others, alas, he will say, depart. What folly to turn away from the truth which is revealed in God's word in this day of salvation. So much the going away. A word about eating. I say we mostly like eating, don't we? We celebrate at Christmas or at our birthdays, perhaps. When the war was over, you know, we had street parties and the children enjoyed eating in the streets and so forth. These people, they said to him, what shall we do then? He said, believe on him, that is Jesus Christ, because being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, they said to him, our fathers, they had something to see. They saw manna, which God gave them day by day. What sign have you got to show us? You know, Jesus, on one occasion, rebuked people for asking for signs. It's not always a good thing to do. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. No sign will be given. But on this occasion, he revealed himself as the sign. He said, I am the bread of life. I'm God's sign. And he said this extraordinary thing. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. It sounds like cannibalism. I say that reverently. But of course, it's got a very special meaning. It means that like we eat normal bread and it becomes part of us, so when we receive the Lord Jesus, he comes into our lives and he controls us and changes us into his likeness. The Word was made flesh, that is, the Lord Jesus was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. He came unto his own, that was the Jews, and the Jews didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. They were saying, isn't this Joseph's son? Reducing this to a level of mere humanity, it wasn't true. He was and is the Son of God. Whereas the Old Testament priests keep on making repeated sacrifices, we read in the book of Hebrews, this man offered one sacrifice to sin forever. But this man is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. And how do we come to God? His Spirit works in our hearts and we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? Be of good cheer, says Jesus. It is I'm the Saviour. Be not afraid. Peter stepped on the water. I've got a lovely sentence. I can't tell you who said it, but I know it's true. Are you ready? The steps of faith tread on the seeming void and find the rock beneath. The rock of salvation, the rock of the Lord Jesus. We come and we believe on him by God's grace unto salvation. And we find we have an eternal salvation. And so the psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, the God of our salvation.